Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you? He replied. And they replied, let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left hand in your glory. You don't know what you're asking for, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? We can, they answered. And Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared. And when the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. And Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, brother. Good morning, Grace family. It's great to be with you on this Mother's Day. I'd just like to say, after being down there, I'm never preaching again. In those comfy seats with that lumbar support, and then to come up here for half an hour. And if you are online, I encourage you need to scope this out. We are looking good here at Grace, so come on in and scope it out. My name is Chad Herzog. I'm an elder here at Grace, and we're going to continue. In Mark. I encourage you to grab your Bible. We're going to be hitting some passages. I'd love for you to follow along. So grab that Bible in that rack. So yesterday was awesome. And one of the things, we had a few guys, Anthony, Mark, and John, and some others, they spent about 2 hours putting those racks in that chair in front of you so you could grab that Bible. We are going to be talking about service, and there was a lot of service going on yesterday. I hope that you are enjoying going through Mark, as we have been going through. And today we're going to be looking at something crazy, something that makes no sense. It's cross-cultural, and I hope that you've been challenged by how we've been going through the book of Mark and seeing how Jesus reveals himself, how sometimes Jesus repeats himself, emphasizing certain areas, how we've been going verse by verse. And I think there's a lot of benefit in going through the book like that. And I just want to challenge you to not only read Mark, but to read the entire New Testament. And the way that the New Testament, the way that God will speak to you when you read the book as a whole. And then I'd like to challenge you to not just read this part, but to read this part. And the way that God will speak to you in a way that's impossible if you don't know the whole story. And so at some point to read through God's word. So let's review a bit so we know how we're coming in to the passage this morning. A couple weeks ago, Dave led us through, and we were in Mark 9. And I just want to read through chapter 9, if you go to verse 30, it said, they left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were, because he was teaching his disciples. He said to them, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise. But they, the disciples, did not understand what he meant and were afraid to ask him about it. Don't be afraid to ask questions. And in today's context, remember that the disciples did not understand. Dave went on to speak then, right after Jesus predicts his death, the disciples argue about who is the greatest. And then Tom covered divorce and what that speaks about to marriage to us. And then children. And then last week, John covered the rich man. He was asking, how do we inherit eternal life and how that's received? And then at the end of that passage, Jesus again predicted his death. And that brings us to today's reading. Jesus again has just predicted his death. And then James and John come up with the most selfish request you could come up with. To the Savior of the universe. In verse 35, it says, they ask, we want you to do whatever we ask. And try that with your boss tomorrow morning. You know, we have the weekend. Just use that as your opening line. The boss, I'd like for you to do whatever I ask. And then we'll review on Tuesday how that went. But look, Jesus surprisingly entertains this request. Verse 36, well, what do you want me to do for you? Now remember, the disciples don't understand, and they don't know everything we know. The story hasn't completely unfolded. So what they're thinking is, they're with the future king, we're headed to Jerusalem, we're in the king's circle, this is looking good. And to sit at his right and his left will equal a prestige and power. But Jesus says, you have no idea what you're asking. Then you have in verse 10, the other 10. And they get beat, I'm sorry, verse 41, you have the 10. And the 10 got beat to the punch. All right, they heard about this, and what did they do? They lost their cool, okay? Because James and John beat them out. And then Jesus, as we continue there, in the Herzog household, we would call this a time to regroup, okay? Things have gotten a little bit out of hand. Maybe there's some talking back. We're not getting along. We're going to regroup. In sports, this would be called a timeout. You ever seen a timeout change the course of the game? It can be an awesome tool. And Jesus, as leader, knows this. And he huddles his team together, and he goes, this is the main point I want you to know. This is what I'm telling you. You become less. You become less and serve well. Serve others. This is Jesus' first point. We need to stop taking selfies. Our world is so self-absorbing. Everything is to gratify self. We are trained to love self. We are encouraged to love self, focus on myself, build myself, change myself. And the disciples, obviously, are focused on self, saying, do whatever we ask. You ever say something that you instantly regret it? You say something and you say, I didn't mean that. I was taught that you did mean it. If you say it, it came from your heart. And the disciples showed their heart. And the disciples' heart was on self. James and John's request was to sit at the right and the left. My two oldest, Riley and Kinley, now are calling shotgun when we go on a ride. Why? They want the preferred seat. Okay, my kids are fighting over who gets to sit closest to Dad. They're beautiful children. The love. baseball, football, theater, wedding. You want the best seat. Let me ask a question. Just think about to yourself. What percentage of your day is thinking about me? What percentage would you give? What percentage of your checkbook is spent on me? Let's move back to Philippians. If you flip back, we're going to go to Philippians chapter 2. And actually, initially, I was going to start in verse 3 that pertains to our reading today. But I want to start in verse 1, just because it's good. And this is verses that we covered, Grace, as we've been going through trials these past couple of years. So I want to just start in verse 1, Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete. And this is the part that we're really looking at these past couple of years. By being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Do what out of selfish ambition? Nothing. And as if that's not enough, consider others better than yourselves. That's crazy, right? I can't do that. You're right. We can't do that on our own. But just with another plug to read the whole book, a verse that John read, if you go back to Mark chapter 10, verse 27, you remember Jesus said, with man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. The most self-absorbed, self-seeking person that you can think of, you have that person pictured, can become a humble servant for the kingdom with God. Consider others better than yourselves. I want you to turn to the person on each side of you and say, you're better than me. Go ahead. Wow, this is going, there's kissing involved here? This is going really well. Wow. I don't want everybody kissing. Okay, so that's, you both said that, right? So you can't both be right, right? But actually, you can. It's a beautiful picture of the church when each of you has that same viewpoint. That's an awesome picture of the church family, of church unity. Let's continue Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at that name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The disciples' request was the exact opposite of the kingdom. They were interested in sitting on the throne. They were interested in crowns. And Jesus would say, It's about the cross. Verse 10, here in Philippians, every knee will bow. This is the picture of a servant heart. When you are on your knees. When you are on your knees, you make yourself lower. And that's what the world doesn't understand, is that one day they will bow. This is something that helps me make sense of the world. You know, you have the world ask, how could God allow evil? And if there's not justice in the end, I think I would struggle more. But one day, every knee will bow. Each one will take the image of a servant. In Philippians, it says that Jesus became obedient to death. Let's go back to Mark chapter 10 in our reading today. Mark chapter 10, verse 38. Jesus, in response, you don't know what you are asking. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? What is Jesus saying here? Let's read it one more time. I'll insert some definitions here. You don't know what you are asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the death I drink or be put to death with the death I will suffer? That's what he's saying here. We are to die to self. If you flip back to Matthew chapter 16, I'm going to go verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. You want to be part of the team? You want to be in the inner circle? You want to sit at my right? Then die. Then die. Put to death the sinful way. Put to death what the world holds high. And die to self. And brothers and sisters, for us, this is not optional, by the way. Kind of living and kind of dying to self, God has a word for that. It's lukewarm. And he says, if you're lukewarm, he says what? I'd rather spit you out. Back to verse 38, baptism equals death. And we just celebrated the most beautiful part of this baptism on Easter. And that coming out of that immersion, he rose. And as he rose, we will rise. And that's eternal. And I think this is the key to be able to serve as Christ calls us to serve. It's not about winning a new car. It's not about an all-expense vacation. This is eternal. Because servant living isn't trending. You won't see catchy commercials about servant leadership. Magazine covers don't splash pictures of this. More on that in a second. So how do we live in a world that's built on self? Because this world is messed up, right? Have you noticed? You know, it used to be that they just disagreed with us. Now they take what we believe, and it's become twisted, right? Somehow the Herzog started receiving Harper's Bazaar magazine. And I get the bazaar part, but we've been getting that for some reason for the past few months. And on the most recent, it had a title on the cover of one of the stories that they had. Mommies Who Mushroom. Okay. And then under that, describing the story, using psychedelics to take the edge off modern parenthood. Okay? So there's no judgment here, okay? There may be mommies in here who mushroom, but I will tell you this. It's not God's plan for you to parent through mushrooms. And it's not something that would be on the cover of a magazine even 10 years ago. We're headed in a different path. They're trying to make what's not normal very normal, and we need to be careful. But is God surprised by how messed up this world is? I don't think so. In 1 Peter chapter 2, he says, we are to live as aliens and strangers in this world. And so if you're cruising through life, and there's not many hiccups, and there's not many trials, and you think this is looking good, we may want to examine. We may want to re-examine. Because we are supposed to live as aliens. You may say, this seems very daunting. I can't die to self for a lifetime. I'd like to go to Luke, chapter 9. We've read this once. This is Luke, and he adds one word to his account. See if you can pick out the one word that could help us out. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. What word was added? Daily. I think we can do it daily. I think each morning we need to wake up and ask for that strength for our daily bread. It may seem daunting to live out that way. He asks us to do it daily. And that brings us to our final section here in Mark. Let's go to verse 43. Mark chapter 10, 43. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. In my NIV notes, it states, Jesus overturns the value structure of the world. The life of discipleship is to be characterized by humble and loving sacrifice, of loving service. This is the exact opposite of the disciples' request. In our world, people compete with each other to achieve power. We're obviously seeing that on the world stage today. And the disciples had the same mindset. James and John wanted to be on top of the list. And maybe making sure that Peter dropped a spot. Okay? But Jesus takes this and he turns it upside down. Jesus begins speaking of servants and slaves. And in the Roman world, there were slaves, and then just above them were the servants. You may see the term bond servant. And then there were the elite. No middle class. And under Roman law, a servant or bond servant could be considered at times the owner's property. So when Jesus says you are to be a servant, this would be unthinkable to a Roman citizen. But this was not new for God and his plan. God spoke of Abraham as his servant. Joshua was called a servant of the Lord, as were David and Isaiah. And then in some of our New Testament readings, maybe we skip over these intros a little bit, but Romans starts off Paul, a servant. In Philippians, it says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. In James, he's called a servant. In 1 Peter, Peter, an apostle of Christ Jesus, to God's elect, strangers in the world. Here, servant carries this idea of humble nobility. Let us join these servants. Listen to Romans, this is chapter 6, verse 22. But now you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. A couple things here. The Bible says you reap what you sow. And this is not popular today. You know, if something bad has happened to me, that means somebody else, another group has done something. I'm the victim. But most of the time when something bad happens to me, you know who screwed up? Me. Matt Chandler, he's a pastor, and he says, you know the person who's best at screwing you up? You. We reap what we sow. When something bad is happening to us, most of the time, we've gotten off track, right? But here, what we reap as a result of being a slave is eternal life. We were in the forest one day, and my dad and I, and we're at a stream. And my dad always said he would never make me do something he wasn't willing to do. And in our case, it was jumping over this stream. Jesus led this charge. In verse 45, he says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Now remember, the disciples didn't fully understand this. But Jesus would fulfill this prophecy. And then it all made perfect sense. And what happened when it all made perfect sense? The self-absorbed, never understanding, always arguing who's the greatest disciples became unstoppable. They took the position of a servant, and then they would die as martyrs. Indeed, drinking the same cup as Jesus. Has it all made sense to you? Have you become unstoppable? Grace family, are we unstoppable? We have the full picture. The ransom has been paid. I just want to review our vision. To become a loving family of disciples who pray, worship, and grow together, serving others and sharing the gospel. What does this look like? Well, yesterday was a beautiful picture of it. The Grace family giving up their Saturdays, guys walking in the rain carrying heavy chairs to the team that was in here. It looked like ants in here, just getting the job done. It was beautiful. And I just want to pause a second. We read that verse in Philippians of unity, being like-minded. I just want to give you a little encouragement. And this process, and the renewal committee did a phenomenal job. But changing colors and carpet, switching from pews to chairs, there's been churches, they're divided over this. People have left over changing carpet. Okay? That's not kingdom goods. we are more united. And I want to thank you. There have been many things recently that could be issues, and you guys have not made them issues because you know that we're here to serve the kingdom. I know that some of you were pew people. I was a pew person. This is beautiful, and thank you. How do we serve? How is there less of you? Children's ministry. There are some women you may not even know go to this church. If you're new, you probably don't know who they are because they are downstairs almost every single Sunday. That's awesome servant leadership. For those, you know, we've done a lot of physical things here, like yesterday. I just want to say, those who are here, that's being an awesome servant. But so often with this, you have the spouse who stays at home so that person can come to the church. That may be bigger servant leadership because you never know about it. They're never brought up here. And I want to tell you, firsthand, that's big. You can park on the street. We plan on getting more people in here this summer. Parking on the street would be an awesome way to serve. What about performing your spouse's least favorite chore? What about your coworker's least favorite chore? Your neighbor's least favorite chore? Let's take it out a little bit more. What if you did that for a year? Because we're not talking about, this is not something that we want to just, this is a checklist for our Christian living. This is who we are. What if you offered somebody a few hours in the afternoon? But then what if we changed our thinking even a little bit more? What if you gave them your day? That would be losing self. What if you mentored the youth? What if you took them out for ice cream an afternoon? What if you did that every single week? That would be losing self. Family, now is an awesome time at Grace in Stanford, in our community, to serve as Christ served. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we pray that there would be less of us. Lord, we thank you that you set the example as servant. Lord, you are King, you are Savior. Yeah, Lord, you were the one washing the disciples' feet. Lord, we pray that we would wash the feet. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.